were still in people of the fine print. You know, the people backstage, you know, that just very seldom get mentioned, but who contributed so much to the work of God. Anybody ever listen to podcasts? I was listening to a podcast a while back, and they were talking about this man. His name is Jimmy Iovine. Anybody know who I'm talking about? I didn't think you would. But listen to this. Jimmy Iovine. They mentioned that he worked with Bruce Springsteen. Anybody know who Bruce Springsteen is? Tom Petty, John Lennon. He was the force behind U2 Rattlin' Hum. Anybody know that? No? Yes, some do. He was the music for 16 Candles with Molly Ringwald and Scrooge with Bill Murray. You know, that he did all that. That, you know, and he was a working force behind a lot of rap singers. Anybody listen to rap? No, me either. I don't listen to any. Well, yeah, some of them I do. But the thing that got me, and I had to go, I went and checked to see if I heard right. Anybody know who Dr. Dre is? Huh? Mr. Chuck, you know who Dr. Dre is? Something with music. Yeah, he does rap. You know, that's why I don't know who he is. Yeah. But he worked with Dr. Dre to come up with the idea of Beats headphones. Now, I looked this up. They sold the idea of Beats headphones to Apple for $3 billion, not million, $3 billion and over about $400 million in stock. Can you believe that? $3 billion. And here's a man, you know, and I looked up his picture. I had his picture this morning. Just a little short, bald-headed guy with a head like Bill. You know, Bill, you know, shaved, you know, but, you know, you see him in Walmart, you know, you wouldn't give him a second thought. But here's this guy that is shaped, you know, not, you know, I listen to some of them, you know, but shaped music and how we listen to music, you know, that, you know, everybody can have an impact, you know, on the world around us, you know, that even if nobody knows who you are, what you do, especially what you're doing for God, can have an impact, you know. And going through this, you know, and my prayer, you know, I said last week, you know, is that you pick up your Bible and kind of dig a little deeper into this. You know, and I don't remember who it was, but somebody came to me last week. You know, last week we were in Colossians and Philemon. Somebody came to me and said, Aaron, you know, I picked up my Bible and I read the whole book of Colossians and Philemon because you said something. Well, Philemon's only like one page long, you know, but it's just, you know, you have to do that. You know, and I'll have to let y'all know this, kind of sidetrack. You know, I said something, I think it was last week, that when somebody comes up with something, you know, that they say, you know, I've never heard before, some secret code or something, you know, I kind of, you know, 2,000 years, you're just coming up with this, you know, to another podcast, you know, and I've never heard of this before, you know, but, I had to look it up myself at least to see, you know, this is what I forwarded you. Okay, from Adam to Noah, what their names stand for, the genealogy starting with Adam, you know, to Noah, a hidden prophecy revealed. Their names in Hebrew mean something. And this is what it means. Man appointed mortal sorrow, the blessed God shall come down, teaching his death shall bring the despairing rest and comfort. Anybody ever heard of that? You've heard of that, Mary? I've never heard anybody say that before. You know, that, yeah, you know, from Adam to Noah telling us, by their names, you know, that man were destined, you know, for sorrow, but God, you know, shall come down and through him and by him, you know, rest and comfort for us. You know, you learn something every day, you know, but we're, you know, we're talking about people in the fine print, you know, people, you know, just a bare mention one or two times, but we're standing on the shoulders of faith that if they had not done what they did, if they not had been obedient to the call of God, you know, the biblical story, we wouldn't have it as it is today, you know, where God would have to, you know, do something else. You know, but we have no control over who history remembers. But we do, each and every one of us in the church, we do have control over how much effort we put in to the things of God. We have control over how much effort we put in to our relationship with God. You know, these are people in the fine print, you know, that if they hadn't done what they did, where would we be today? That these people are game. So I ask you, are you game? What's the definition of game? You know, that you are open to new and experience something different. Huh? Are you game for something? To experience God in a new way, to experience listening to God and doing something for God that He may have never called you to do before. You know, and our names today, you know, I have to admit, you know, those names last week, Tychicus and Onesimus, y'all missed those. Glad to have y'all back. You know, those were good names, men names, Tychicus and Onesimus, you know. I remember them from reading them. But the names today, you know, Aquila and Priscilla, you know, and I have to admit, I thought they were sisters. You know, anybody know a man's name is Aquila? Huh? It's a man, you know, and his wife Priscilla, you know, it's husband and wife. Did you know that, Andy? Yeah, I figured you would. You know, but, you know, pass over them, you know, and never given them a second thought. But here they are. You know, Aquila and Priscilla, you know, they're on a marriage, on a mission. You know, we talk about, you know, how to treat each other in marriage, but we don't talk much about having a marriage on a mission. You know, that, you know, we stand there at the aisle, you know, at the altar, you know, wherever we get married at. You know, so many people get married these days out on the beach, you know, or somewhere. You know, we stand there looking into each other's eyes, and we, did y'all get married on the beach? You know, we look in each other's eyes, and we kind of melt, you know, you know, and then we run off into the world. But the thing about it is, when we run off into the world, we have to run off into the world with a mission and a vision. That, you know, that I have so many couples, you know, in my former line of work, you know, and as a pastor, you know, they having trouble, you know, and they say they've just gone off in different directions. And it's not that one of them's a plumber and one's a doctor, you know, and they just hang out with different people. You know, it's that their marriage vision and mission is going in different directions. Though that one of them wants to do one thing, one of them wants to do something else, and they just cannot come, you know, connect on what they should be doing. But what more powerful thing than for a marriage to be on a mission for God? A mission and a vision for God. You know, that to realize, you know, all these people we're talking about or I have talked about, you know, are just people, you know, we never give them a second thought. But here God has written them into His never-changing, everlasting word. Everything else will pass away, but His word will always endure. They were meant, God meant for us to look at these people, to look at them and think about them, what they have done. You know, and I pray that you, you know, take your Bible out and look at these people and read about them. You know, do some extra work. See, you know, who they are and what they've done. You know, we meet this couple in the book of Acts, you know, 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius ordered all Jews to leave Rome. That, you know, there was an uprising in Rome. You know, why? Because Paul and all the followers of Jesus, you know, were telling everybody, Jesus, He's king. He needs to be king. You know, You know, and it said, you know, Claudius, you know, they were stirring up people. So Claudius just says, hey, all Jews, I don't care who you follow, all Jews, get out of town. So here's Aquila and Priscilla. They leave everything, you know, only what they could carry on the back, they put on the horse, put on the cart. They lose everything, you know, and they leave and they go to Corinth. You know, they're trying to set up life again. And what happens? The instigator of the whole thing, Paul, he comes along. You know, Aquila and Priscilla, tent makers, Paul's a tent maker. They meet up. And what do? They invite him into their house. You know, and not they just don't say, hey, you know, here, we're going to give you $2. $2 wouldn't get you much, but maybe back then. You know, I'm going to give you $2, go down to Golden Archers, get you a Big Mac combo meal, you know, we'll see you later. They invite him into their house, into their lives, into their business. They open everything to him. They've been kicked out of Rome because they're following Jesus, and here they are in town. They open their homes again. And why? Because they're following Jesus Christ. Their marriage is on a mission. Peter tells us, above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. What? And be hospitable to one another, without complaining, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another. Can y'all do that? Can you serve one another? Can you be hospitable to one another? Boy, I see some rough faces. I don't know. Huh? You know, when I first started out in ministry, I was a youth director. We had a pretty good youth group. Two of them were mine, but we had an older couple in church, you know, older couple, and they had this beautiful home, older couple never had kids, but they had a swimming pool, so, you know, everything was nice and neat and orderly, you know, and they came to, you're laughing, huh, Bill? You know, that you know what it is to have kids, you know what it's like not to have kids, everything's nice and neat and orderly, huh? You know, but this older couple comes to me, you know, and they say, Aaron, you know, you think the youth group would like to come down to our house and swim and barbecue? I said, wait a minute, let me stop and think. Teenagers, swim, barbecue. I think it might work, you know, but I tell them, hey, now wait a minute, y'all sure about this? Some of these kids were raised in the woods by wolves. You know, their social skills are lacking in just a little bit, you know, that, you know, we're trying to teach them, you know, but, you know, I said, oh, it's okay, Aaron, it's okay, you know, so, yeah, we go out there, and, yeah, there were some incidents, yeah, they ate them out of house and home, you know, what if kids do, especially boys, you know, when they run in a house, Humboldt Hearns, refrigerator, boom, you know, you got growing boys, you know, eat you out of house and home. You know, even though we brought the food, you know, they run to the refrigerator. You know, we had good times. You know, but the thing is, even after I left there, they still kept it up. They still had those kids or whatever kids would come out to their house, you know, for a meal. You know, and my daughters would tell me that some of those kids told them that those meals changed their life, that they found out somebody cared for them. You know, said that was the only meal they had around a table that they could share, you know, food and time with. You know, side note, you know, I've been in houses, other line of work, and as a pastor too, you know, where a husband and wife or family having problems, you know, and I look, and it's either one dining table or kitchen table, whatever you want to call it, is non-existent, nothing, Or it's piled so high with stuff, you know nobody ever sat around it. You know? And I tell him, you know, I said, one thing will help you. What? The table, the counter, whatever, the floor. You know? And I told my son, you know, them always going in different directions. You know, even if you have to do it in the van, drive through McDonald's when you get to the park, try and get there early, find a picnic table, just sit in the van and share a meal together, even if it is a Big Mac combo. Share time and share your life together. Let them know somebody cares. Let them know you care. Let your kids share their life with you. You know, and that's why I say our meals on Wednesday night, breaking bread together, sharing time, fellowship together. The church as a family, that's where we grow together. You know, people sharing our lives together. Okay, back to our story. You know, Aquila and Priscilla, you know, here they are. You know, they start out, you know, they lose everything. But Paul comes in and they open their doors to him. And scripture tells us he stayed with them for a year and a half. A year and a half, you know. But then it got so bad, he knew he had to leave. You know, because said he got beat up, the leader of the synagogue got beat up, you know, but he had to leave. You know, but Aquila and Priscilla stayed. And Luke tells us why. They stayed. Because, you know, there was a man named, you know, that Angie read, you know, a man named Apollos came to town and he's preaching, but he's missing something. He's doing good, but all he knows is a baptism of John. He doesn't know about Jesus, really. So they take him to the side. Now, you got to look at this. Here's a man. He said, learned in the word of God. He's teaching, but he's missing something. Priscilla and Aquila come to him. And they said, hey, you know, you're missing something here. Well, you know, how would that make you feel? Huh? One, that he was open to them. You know? That he just didn't say, hey, you know, hey, y'all don't know what y'all, you know, get out of here. But he was open to them, to listen to what they had to say. But also that they were bold enough in their belief and their faith to approach him. Communication, people. Communication. We can't have anything without communication. If we don't have communication, we're in trouble. We have to learn to talk to each other. We have to learn to talk and share with each other. You know, and then Paul in scripture, he switches their name. He goes from Prisca, he goes from Priscilla to Prisca. Now, the reason he does that, Priscilla is a casual form of her name. But then he switches to Prisca. Prisca is more of a formal part of her name. But then he switches from Aquila and Prisca to Prisca and Aquila, putting her first, signifying that it's not the husband just dragging, that it's not the wife just dragging the husband alone. Is that what happens, Ben? I'm just picking. You know, that it's not the wife just dragging the husband into church. That they are equal partners in this. Him and her. That she has as much to do in the ministry as anybody else. And they never stop. They never stop. Romans 16, greet Prisca and Aquila. They've made it back to Rome. They get kicked out of Rome and now they've made it back. They never stopped. No matter what they went up against, they were never stopped. They were always willing. They were always faithful, helping the next generation. These kids that are here today, some of them belong to you, a couple of them. Some of them don't belong to any of you here. But they're here. Are we willing to help the next generation? Are we faithful followers of God? Now, to think about this, okay, Aquila and Prissy, marriage on a mission is your marriage on a mission. But it's two people coming together for a common cause, something they're passionate about for God, the work of God. Is there somebody here that you can be involved in something you're passionate about? These two sisters, they're the ones that got the women thing going, right? Huh? Her? But both of y'all, they got the women thing going. Ben, we need to get the men thing going. Huh? But something, somebody here, or it doesn't have to be somebody here, but just somebody, you can be about the work of God. One, two, three, four people. Something God is calling you to do. But then it goes deeper than that. What is the bride of Christ? The church. What is the church? Each and every one of you. Us, the church, the bride of Christ, a marriage on a mission. Us and Jesus Christ on a mission. What did Jesus say? Go into the world to make disciples for him. To teach people what he has done. To tell people about his love, his grace, his mercy. About what he has done on the cross. Us. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Or we game for that. To try something new. You know, I said last week we need to find our niche. I've heard a couple of ideas. I say, hey, don't, you know, that's your idea. Okay, run with it. But what can we do to find our niche here in this community? To let people know here is the love of God for the world. Ideas, people. The number one idea, God loves you. He has, and he always will. He will never stop. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, again, we give you thanks. Lord God, again, we pray for your presence with us this day and every day, Lord God, that we can be a people, a church on a mission for you. In your Son's holy name, amen.